Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. Today is January 17th, 2024, and we're going to give you an update on the United Football League, so spring football. Just a reminder, the United Football League is actually a continuation of the two previous merged spring leagues, the XFL and the USFL. And to recap our last program, which we were a bit sketchy about, we had sketchy information from a couple weeks ago. There were two spring leagues last season, as we said, the XFL and the USFL. Each league had eight teams, so a total of 16 teams. An announcement was made in mid to late September. Well, a rumor was floating around that there, not an announcement, but a rumor was floating around by the insiders, quote unquote, that there would be a merger between the two leagues. So over the past 4 months, there were many rumors regarding this, whether A, it was true, B, not true, C, if it was true, it would take place later, D, what teams would be included in the merger. And that was anywhere from, we've heard 16, we heard 12, we heard 10, 8, and the number of teams, and then which teams. So just to recap, there are four XFL teams moving into the United Football League and four XFL teams moving into the new league, the United Football League. The XFL teams are the defending champion Arlington Renegades, San Antonio Brahmas, the DC Defenders, and the St. Louis Battlehawks. Then over in the USFL, you have the Houston Roughnecks, which were the XFL team, but I believe the roster is the USFL roster, and then they changed the name to Roughneck. So, and then the Birmingham Stallions, Memphis Showboats, and Michigan Panthers. So those are your eight teams in the United Football League for the 2024 season. The league is divided into two conferences, the USFL conference and the XFL conference. So the previous XFL teams will be XFL conference. The previous USFL teams will be the USFL conference. Presumably, well, backtrack, the season is scheduled to start March 30th in Arlington between the two champions, the champions of the two leagues, Arlington and Birmingham. So sort of a Super Bowl, a Super Bowl between the two previous champions, although this is not a playoff game, it's a regular season game. The confirmation is that this game will take place at Choctaw Stadium in Arlington. So the Renegades will have home field advantage. As far as the rest of the schedule goes, I don't believe it's been released yet. But it appears as if there will be a 10-game regular season. Each team will play the other team in conference twice, so six conference games, and then four games against the opposing conference. So, for example, Arlington will play San Antonio, St. Louis, and D.C. each twice, one at home, one on the road. And then they will play the four USFL teams once, two at home, two on the road. And they're playing Birmingham at home, and they will play either Houston, Memphis, or Michigan at home as well. And then the other two clubs will play on the road. So that's sort of a recap on what's going on with the league. There was a dispersal draft, and we wanted to get some details on that. So with the dispersal draft, which took place January 5th to the 15th, it was the teams that did not make it into the merger, the new United Football League, a dispersal draft of the remaining eight teams that they could draft the players that were on those rosters. So I'm just reading some of the details here. Following the merger of five teams of the XFL and three teams of the XFL into the United States, to the United Football League, the UFL announced plans for a dispersal draft for XFL and USFL players on teams that were not joining the UFL. The draft involved a three-phase player allocation process. Phases one and two occurred on January 5th, and an open dispersal draft for the remaining players, phase three, was on January 15th. As part of the terms of the merger, the Houston Roughnecks, who were an XFL club, will use a base roster from their USFL counterpart, Gamblers. So the Roughnecks of the United Football League, the current team, this is actually the old Houston Gamblers team. Their name was changed to the Roughnecks, so this is not the same Roughnecks roster from the previous roster, from the previous team. The Roughnecks will use a base roster from their USFL counterpart, the Houston Gamblers, and draw from a USFL dispersal pool in phase two of the draft. The 2023 Roughnecks roster, the past season, was dispersed to other XFL teams during phase two. So what happens in phase one, each of the remaining eight teams selected up to 42 players currently under contract, or in the XFL's case, had signed a letter of intent with that team, who will be exempt from phase three. Phase two of the draft involves separate personal drafts for the USFL and XFL. The rosters of the four contracted teams from each league were placed into separate pools where the four remaining teams from each league can claim up to 20 players from their league's respective pool. Phase three, the UFL Super Draft, this was the one that took place on Monday. The remaining players not protected in phase one nor claimed in phase two, along with any free agents who sign with the league, are subject to an open draft in which any of these eight teams can claim the player's right. So these were players that were not selected in the previous two phases or as free agents. So let's look at the players that were drafted. Let's start out with the Renegades. The Renegades drafted, looks like 12 players, 13 players, sorry. So they have they have Vic Beasley and LaRon Stokes from Vegas, Kevin Darrington from Orlando, Chris Owens from Seattle, and Adrian Ealy and Morgan Ellison also from Seattle. And the rest of the players they drafted were from Houston. But Deontay Burnett, Seth Green, A'Jeen Harris, Marcus Miner, Christian Morgan, Roderick Perry, and Lindsey Scott, quarterback. D.C. had 11 players drafted. Two Vegas guys, including Adam Sparks, Deontay Anderson. One Orlando guy, DeAndre Francois, quarterback. Two Seattle guys, George Moore and Tariquius Tisdale, and four Roughnecks, Roughnecks from 2023, not the current Roughnecks. Elijah Blades, Gene DeLance, Trent Harris, who was a standout pass rusher, and Donovan Jeter. So San Antonio, looks like they had several players. A lot of Roughnecks. I don't know if I have time to go over all of them, but most of the players look like in this dispersal draft were Roughneck players. Roughnecks, of course, were 7-3 this past year, won the regular season championship in the South before losing to the Renegades in the South Division Championship game. So San Antonio has about eight, looks like 18, they drafted 18 roughnecks, including Bryson Alline, Dooley, Aris Fildy, Tavante Beckett, Omari Cobb, Rashad Coward, Austin Edwards, Alex Mollett, Jordan Mosley, Marvin Pierre, Wyatt Ray, Jalen Samuels, Justin Smith, Tease Tabor, Kevin Tolliver, Teron Vincent, Cade Warner, Nate Whelan, and Quincy Wilson. So quite a few roughnecks there. So 17 roughnecks drafted by San Antonio. D.C. drafted 5 former roughnecks. And Arlington drafted 7. So that's a total of 29 so far. St. Louis looks as though they had only 2 roughnecks. Sage, Doc Tater, and Jack Snyder. They had 3 Vegas. They drafted 3 Vegas guys. Anthony Siafi, Kalen Kennedy, and Donovan West. And the rest were Seattle Sea Dragons, including Quinterio Cole, Antoine Jackson, Blake Jackson, Chris Payton Jones, Ja'Cory Pearson, and Michael Rust. So of all the players drafted, a total of 31 roughnecks were drafted by XFL teams. Over in the USFL, and a reminder, these are from phase 2. We'll have to get a report on what happened with yesterday or Monday's draft in phase 3. Okay, Birmingham drafted. So what happened was in phase 2, the USFL teams drafted former USFL players. So players from former USFL teams, and same with the XFL. We'll get to the USFL rundown in a minute. Let's check on what happened in the draft yesterday, the phase 3 draft. This is the super dispersal draft. And here are some of the other additions. Arlington added Jared Scott, tight end, wide receiver Calvin Jackson, cornerback Nasir Greer, linebacker B.J. Bello, and wide receiver Jawan Manigo. Birmingham added offensive lineman Larnell Coleman, safety Alicia Holder, quarterback Jalen Morton, cornerback Terrell Bonds, long snapper Ryan Langan, cornerback Madre Harper, running back Bo Scarborough, offensive tackle Jameer Ross Johnson, running back Zaquandre White, fullback Bobby Holly, wide receiver Myron Mitchell. Instead of going over every name, DC added Twelve players in phase 3. Houston Roughnecks added six guys. Memphis, four team players. Michigan added 6 players. San Antonio added 10 guys. St. Louis added 8 players. So that's in phase 3. So those are the players who were not previously selected in phase 1 or phase 2. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will go back to this phase 2 dispersal draft and what the USFL teams did. We'll be right back after this. Thank you. All right, welcome back. So welcome back to Common Sense Radio. We're discussing the latest in the United Football League. The dispersal draft took place this past week or so, past 10 days. We already went over the XFL. Now we're going to go over USFL. So Birmingham selected, looks like 11 players in phase two. The New Orleans Breakers players were Marcus Ball, James Wiggins, and Henri Saint-Amour. Then the New Jersey Generals guys were Calvin Ashley, Cam Carter, Hercules Matafa, Chris Orr. And the Pittsburgh Maulers guys were Chris Blewett, the kicker. What a name for a kicker. And Eli Walker, and the former Philadelphia Stars they drafted were Channing Stribling and Daniel Eisen. And don't forget, Pittsburgh was actually in the championship game last year from the from the Northern Division. Now, Houston drafted a total of 20 guys in phase two. Let's see. Looks like several New Jersey Generals, including Isaiah Battle, Braden Bowman, Woody Brandom, Toby Johnson, Robert Myers, Olive Sagapolu, Ethan Westbrooks, and Bryson Young. The former Breakers players are Paul Adams, Reggie Howard Jr., Jack Kramer, Keontae Shad, and Marcus Tatum. The former Maulers are Reuben Foster, who was a standout at Alabama many years ago, linebacker, Isaiah Henney. And then the former Stars are Adam Rodriguez, Ryan Izzo, and Gabriel Sewell Jr. For Memphis, the former Breakers they drafted are Jonathan Adams, D. Anderson, Jordan Brelford, Vontae Diggs, Jerry Elder, Kirk Kelly, Vinny Papale, the son of Vince Papale. If you remember him from the movie about the Philadelphia Eagle receiver. Shaheed Salmon, Sage Surratt, and Sidney Wells. The former Maulers they drafted are Connor Christian, DeAndre Overton, Terry Poole, and the former Stars are Kennedy Brooks, Case Kukis at quarterback. That's quite a pick there, because Kukis led the Stars to the title game 2 years ago, the first one, and they appeared to be on their way to winning that until he got hurt in the fourth quarter of the 2022 USFL championship game. And let's see, and then the New Jersey Generals they drafted, Memphis, are Colin Hill, Tyshon Render, Wes Saxton Jr., and Darius Victor, running back. Good running back. All right, and finally, Michigan. The former Breakers they drafted are Adonis Alexander, Davis Cheek, Jared Fernandez, Wes Hills, and Alex Thomas. Former Maulers, Keith Gibson Jr., Nasser Player, and Bryce Tornedon. The former Stars, Jacob Burton, Matthew Colburn II, Corey Coleman, Devin Gray, Drew Himmelman, Ryan Pope, Jordan Sewell, Tristan Taylor, and Terry Wright. And then the former Generals are Shalom Luani, Brock Miller, and Jordan Ober. So that kind of catches you up on the depth of the players who were drafted in the dispersal draft, at least the first two phases of it. On Monday, phase three took place, and there was a total of, looks like 14 rounds, a total of 112 possible selections, but not all the not all the players were selected. Looks like past the sixth round, not every team made selections. So total of roughly, I'm going to guess around 80 players in phase three. Now, the relevance of this is it's going to be difficult to predict what teams are better based on the previous season. We obviously know in the USFL, Birmingham was the top team over those 2 years. They were 17-3. They won both league championships. Memphis was a new team, although they had the old Tampa Bay roster. I believe Tampa Bay was 4-6, then Memphis was 5-5 in 23. Michigan was, I believe, 1-9 the first year, 4-6 last year. Sorry, Michigan was 2-8 and then 4-6. Pittsburgh was roughly the same, 1-9, 22, 4-6 in 23. And there was an overbalance in the South versus North. I believe the, I'm going to say of the 40 regular season games, the South had quite a dramatic lead there in terms of head to head versus the North. A total record for the South would have been 26-14 record for the South. Conversely, the North would have been 14-26, so a 12 game difference between the two. And in the XFL, similar, where the North was much better than the South. I believe the South had a record of total record of 15-25, and the North was had a total of 25-15. So there was a lot of debate there as far as the playoff structure, because the previous playoff structure had the division champion, the champion of the South, champion of the North, and both second place teams from each division or conference. And 1 and 2 in each division would meet up in the playoffs. So that left St. Louis out. St. Louis finished 7-3 last year, and that put Arlington in. Arlington was 4-6. Now, as it turned out, Arlington went on to win the championship. They upset Houston and then beat D.C., both convincing wins. So you never know, but St. Louis Battlehawk fans, of course, were upset, rightfully so. They had the third best record, or they were tied for the third best record in the league, and they didn't even get into the playoffs. And I remember there was the last week there was a big tiebreaker that people weren't quite sure on as far as how many points the Battlehawks needed. They won big the last week, but how many points they needed to score in order to get into the playoffs. Over in the USFL, I could say it's similar. There was no team above 500 in the North last year. So you had a 9-1 and a 7-3 team in the South play each other in the first round, and then 2 4-6 teams play each other in the North. And 2 5-5 teams missed out on the playoffs. So I don't know for sure if they've changed the playoff format, if you will have the two division champions, and then just the two best records after that. Not counting tiebreakers, but best records. So a second place 5-5 team will not get in over a third place 6-4 or 7-3 team, for example. don't know. I believe that needs to be changed if you want your best teams in. But, you know, the Renegades last year proved that that's not always the case by winning the championship. I guess they were the exception to the rule. So if you'd like to call in, we're at our number here. We only have a few minutes. Call in is 563-999-3409. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I'm excited with the league for spring football is coming back. It's a combination of the two leagues. I would have preferred both leagues coming back, either separately or together in a 16-team league. But, yes, this is the best way going forward. It's the only way going forward if you want spring football. And if you want – if you're fans of these teams that were contracted because of the merger, my suggestion is you don't give up on the league or stop watching. I would keep watching because if the league is successful, they will expand. My guess, and also what I've read and heard, that they will expand to these markets that they took teams out of, particularly in the XFL markets where they were already playing home games. The USFL was different because they weren't playing home games. They were playing in a hub. So like the Stars, the Maulers, Generals, and the what were the Gamblers, they were playing on the road. But you never know. So go out and support the league. Watch the games. Tell your friends about the games. Start clubs. I'll watch stuff together either in your homes or at sports bars. Let the sports bar people know. Go to the games if they're in your area. And I guess the good thing with the later start this year is that you won't run into as much bad weather. I know when the XFL started last season and 3 years ago in 2020, they started the week after the Super Bowl. So you still had winter weather in some of these places, February, you know, mid-February, early March. So I've been to a few games myself. It's outdoor football. So if you like football, it's not indoor. It's not, you know, any kind of hybrid. It's regular outdoor football. So it's just that it's going to be hard to base from the results from last year to base it on how things are going to be this year. So it's almost like a whole new league with the influx of new players into the eight teams. But it'll be interesting watching the XFL teams take on the USFL teams, particularly that first game, Arlington versus Birmingham. I believe Skip Holt is still the coach, the head coach of Birmingham, and Bob Stoops is still the head coach at Arlington. So you have two great former college coaches and two spring football league champions going up against each other there. And so we'll see. With an entire season, maybe with Perez at quarterback, maybe the Renegades get off to a better start, because I know for the first part of the season last year, they had no offense. And they were a completely different team down the stretch. I think it was the last two regular season games, and then the last game they didn't play very well. Well, anyways, that's our time. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll give you more updates on the United Football League in the coming weeks. Have a good day. Bye-bye.